Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to Select Start. This is episode 18, I believe. 18, 19, something like that. We're back. Me and Caleb went to the LCS finals. Me, Caleb, and my fiance. And I don't know about you, Caleb, but it was pretty hype for me. I know your team lost, but I fucking loved it.
You got the
EG.
second though?
Yeah,
we lost in the final.
EG
But you went all the
fucking.
way to finals. Come on, bro.
Yeah, but
Yeah.
EG just destroyed them. Like
Yeah,
it was insane.
the first day was pretty hype because my team wasn't playing. The second day was kind of depressing.
Yeah, like it was insane. Like I didn't think, like I was like, okay, EG did really good against TL. I was like, all right, so they're probably gonna do pretty good against 100 Thieves. I was like, it's probably gonna be like a 2-3, like in 100 Thieves' favor. I was like, EG was up 2-0, and I was like, okay, I was like, 100 Thieves is about to switch things up and come back and reverse sweep or some crazy shit like they usually do. But no, EG just went in and destroyed. Like it was insane, like how good they performed. And Danny,
Yeah.
oh my god, Danny is so good. Holy shit. The event was a lot of fun. The Fan Fest was a lot of fun. It was actually the LCS was so good that even Caitlyn said she wants to start watching like the LCS and stuff, like when we're at home. And her favorite team now is FlyQuest after looking at all the jerseys.
Nice. I
Yeah.
approve of that.
I was like, okay, that's fine with me. You can like, I was like, as long as it was like, FlyQuest, TSM, or like 100 Thieves, I was like, I'll be fine with one of those. And she was like, I like FlyQuest. She's like, I really like their jerseys.
Yeah, so let's kind of go over the whole weekend. So Saturday was day one. It was the lower bracket finals. They had a fan fest that started at 10 in the morning. So I got there around 9:15-ish because they said they were gonna open the doors to let start letting people in at 9:30. Then Travis Gafford, who's like big in the league scene, he does like interviews,
And stories and stuff.
a bunch of different content for
Yeah.
Is he like a journalist or an analyst?
Yeah, he's like a
He's a
journalist.
journalist. He's a
Okay.
journalist, basically. He does like a bunch of content for LCS, interviews players, and all this other stuff. And on Mondays, he does a show, a podcast basically called Hotline League
Okay.
with one of the casters from LCS, Marks. And so they do that every Monday, and on Saturday they did it live
Yeah.
at the Fan Fest for 2 hours, where
That's so dope.
they had a bunch of different guests come up and talk, like the CEO of Team Liquid, the CEO of Evil Geniuses, Papa Smithy, who is 100
Ooh.
Thieves general manager of the LCS team. And then they did like fan questions where you got to come up on stage and basically give like your take or ask a question and get to talk about it for a few minutes and stuff. So it was pretty cool.
Did you get to go up there?
No, I didn't try.
Fair.
But they also had a bunch of other cool stuff. A bunch of teams had different booths there. FlyQuest had a booth, Team Liquid,
100
Evil
Thieves.
Geniuses, 100 Thieves, CLG, and Cloud9, I believe, were the only ones that had
Booths, yeah.
booths. So each of them had like different cool like little things you could do. Like Evil Geniuses had their whole booth, it was like a big patch of grass, and then they had like a pillar in the middle that came up with a patch of grass on top of it, and like they had a big sign behind it. It was like touch grass.
Yeah, they
My
had like a
God.
shirt and
Yeah,
everything that said touch on grass.
they had like a shirt for the weekend that said touch grass and stuff. So they were like, come touch grass, gamers.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord have mercy, that's
Yeah,
funny.
it was hilarious. And
I
then they had
love
a
it.
bunch of other like cool stuff, like Grubhub, who's a sponsor of LCS and was sponsoring the finals.
Motherfucker.
Dope.
They had this big like thing in the middle of the fan fest where they had like one of those arcade basketball games.
Yeah.
That you could play, and like depending on your score, they give you a card with like a color sticker on it, and that would be your prize. Or they had like a claw machine with little like balls with different prizes in them, with the cards with the colors on them. Or they had like pins and like plushies and stuff like that.
Which, and by the way, Caitlin played the claw machine and got something that had a Grubhub gift card in it. And so we got back to our hotel and we were like, you know what? We got a Grubhub gift card. Why don't we use it and use Grubhub and just get some food since we're staying here again. So we tried to put the Grubhub gift card in. Didn't work whatsoever. Tried it multiple different times on the website, on the app, on her app, and everything just did not exist. And so like we basically won a used gift card, so that kind of sucked.
I'd contact them or something, be like, hey, I've won this and it's not working.
Yeah, but we did, and Grubhub was like, how much was it for when you bought it? And we were like, we didn't buy it, we won it, and we don't know how much it is because we can't check because it doesn't work. And she was like, okay, well, we'll get back to you guys in like 48 to like 72 hours.
So I played the basketball game. I sucked at the claw game. I couldn't get anything.
Yeah.
So I played the basketball game on the first day. I won this big mouse pad. Yeah, it's like a big oversized mouse pad. It has like a bunch of different pictures of like food on it. And then right in the middle, it says Spring Finals delivered by Grubhub. It's pretty cool. I've been using it.
Yeah, same.
And then on the second day, I won another one. So I got two mouse pads now.
Also,
and then they had Samsung was there with like their computer products. They had this thing called the Samsung Jungle Clear, where you could go in and pick a champion, and you had to clear one side of the jungle, and whoever like did it the fastest won a Samsung SSD.
Nice.
And they had like Red Bull was there, and they had like computer set up where you could 1v1 other people
as Blitzcrank.
Yeah, as Blitzcrank only.
That's funny.
In the Jungle Clear, I want to say Caleb did it and he got like 55 seconds. I did it and
got over a minute.
Yeah, he sucks. Caleb told me he was like he's like the setup is really weird, and I was like, okay, whatever. So I tried it and the setup was really weird. I wish I could have changed my settings and stuff. And like also like they were like, it's all in the practice tool, so you can like teleport around. And so I wasn't, straight up just forgot about it. And like,
yeah, I did too. It was
weird. So like,
but it was fun to do.
Yeah, it was fun to do. And like,
some dude did it in like 25 seconds. I was like, how?
Yes. The highest, the lowest I saw was 24 seconds. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And so that went on Saturday basically went on like all day, but the pre-show started at 1:30 and they let you go to your seats. And so they did like a live pre-show. Then the game started at around 2:30. Okay. So it was the lower bracket final, and whoever won got to go to the grand finals against 100 Thieves on Sunday. And so it was EG, Evil Geniuses, versus Team Liquid. And I think it was game one or two, Danny, who's the AD carry for Evil Geniuses, broke the single season record for most pentakills in a single split with 4.
Excuse me, what?
Yeah, the dude's insane.
No one ever had gotten more than 3 in a single split, and he got 4.
Because on
He's cracked. And so Evil Geniuses went on to beat TL 3-0 out of best of 5. And like when Danny got the pentakill, like the entire like stadium crowd like jumped up. It was crazy.
Oh dude. And,
like
dude,
it just went wild.
Bro, let me tell you, like I wish you guys were were freaking...
Rocket League?
Oh, I wish you guys loved Rocket League so I could explain what it's like too, because because like Pentakill is hype. Okay, obviously it's like the hypest thing in League.
League, yeah.
So for Rocket League, like moment we have those moments a lot of the time, but like those moments translate into like absolutely nutty shots.
Yeah.
And like it's hard to describe it to you without actually having seen it, but like there was a moment where a player named Beast Mode, he plays for version 1, he did this thing, dude. He was in the middle of the field, or the stadium, whatever you want to call it. I know you guys have at least seen the Rocket League field plenty of times.
Yeah.
So he was in the middle, and he was, you know, he's on one team, and you know they're fighting a team. He jumps. Okay. There's a play happening. He's carrying the ball. He jumps from midfield to carry the ball. Loses possession. Continues to go forward. And when he lost possession, He the ball was floating towards the direction he was carrying. Like, he was already like the ball was going in his direction. He didn't like actually like when I say lost possession, he just stopped touching the ball.
Yeah.
He went into the ceiling, the top corner of the ceiling. He got there before the ball did. And he hit the ceiling, turned around, jumped off the ceiling, passed the ball down to his teammate, and they scored.
Yeah.
And when we watched it all happen, he did that, and I mean, I swear to God, the entire stadium started shaking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because we were screaming that loud. Everybody was just like, "Oh my fucking God!"
Yeah, that's basically what happened on Saturday.
Like we lost our minds, dude. And like, you know, a few of those moments actually happened. But like, when you talk about key, like super crucial moments, like that was one of the plays where it was just like, how did he do that?
Yeah. So also on a Saturday with them making it to finals, Jojo Pyun, who is the Evil Genius's mid laner, who is from NA, he's Canadian, but he's from NA. It was the first time since 2018 that a North American mid laner has made it to LCS finals.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
And so Saturday was pretty hype. I was rooting for EG because, like, I wanted to see someone different in the finals for once, because the final after Saturday, it was Evil Geniuses versus 100 Thieves. And I think this was like the first time ever in LCS history that TSM, Cloud9, or TL hasn't been in the final.
I believe.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I believe you're right. I can double check.
I'm pretty sure that's correct. But,
and
then so Sunday, Saturday night, Gavin drove down with Caitlyn.
You are correct. This is the first time TL, C9, or TSM have not been in the finals. Because last year was TL.
Yeah, for LCS. So after Saturday, another podcast that I listen to sometimes, it's 100 Thieves podcast, but it's like a fan-made podcast. Some guys in the Discord that were down in Houston, we met up. I met up with them at a taco place for dinner with the guys from the FlyQuest podcast, which is another fan-made podcast. So that was pretty cool. Got to meet some new people. And then Gavin came down.
Yep.
And then we woke up that next morning around 9 o'clock. I was in the shower. Gavin and Caitlin came banging on my door.
Yeah.
So I got dressed and everything. Then we headed to FanFest. Again, at 9:00, 9:30.
Yep.
Did all the FanFest stuff, and on Sunday they had in the morning for they had a bunch of other like new cool stuff on Sunday. So they had a Wingstop wing eating contest.
Oh yeah,
with fans. Lord.
With fans, and it was like, that got to do it, and it was like the hottest wings that Buffalo Wild Wings sells, I think.
You mean Wingstop?
No, it was Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they sponsor LCS.
And so I think it was two teams with two people on each, and you had, I think it was like
2 minutes, I think.
10 minutes to eat 20 wings between the two of you. With no water, no napkins, no nothing.
Yeah, and like it's like I think he said it was like 1.6 million Scovilles for each wing.
Yeah,
yeah.
So fucking insanely.
Yeah, it was insane. And the first team, I think, managed to eat all 20 wings. So that was pretty crazy.
And they also had, at the morning when we got there, they did a Tyler One versus Double Lift, where they got like a bunch of other like streamers and stuff.
Yeah, I was about to talk about it. So it's called the Grubhub Feeding Frenzy. Yeah. They do it like every year at finals. Okay. And so it was Double Lift versus Tyler One. They were the captains. And then they had their teams, whatever. I think Double Lift's team. Some dude.
It was
Vern something. I don't really know who he is. U Jelly, who's a League of Legends streamer.
QD Cinderella, which is
QD Cinderella
streamer.
She's a streamer. And she's Ludwig's girlfriend.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
They
did really good.
They have one other person. In.
Okay, so what? Hang on, but what is this? What is the VD?
Anyway, so they play three games. The first two games, they played an ARAM, and I think Double Lift's team won the first ARAM.
Yeah.
And then Tyler One's team
won the next one.
Won the second ARAM, and then the third game they played a game on Summoner's Rift, which is like the normal League of Legends map or whatever, and they did this cool thing with Double Lift and Tyler One where they did a fan vote to see what champion they would play. So they put up like four champions, and the fans got to pick the vote on what champion they wanted to see them play.
Mm-hmm.
And Double Lift got Shaco, and he was like, mm-hmm, I've never played this champion before in my life, and he was like looking on stage looking at builds and stuff. And then
that's fucking great.
They picked Sion for Tyler One.
Okay, does Tyler One play Sion?
No.
I think he might have played it some when he was doing his Challenger. Top lane to Challenger.
Yeah, because like the thing is, for Tyler One, you can't really pick a bad champion because he's Challenger in every single role, so he should theoretically be able to play any champion anywhere.
Yeah. And so, the other person on Double's team was Meteos, who's like LCS jungler,
which kind of unfair,
so since Double Lift got Shaco, he went into the jungle, and he's an 80 carry main. And so Meteos played Aatrox against Tyler One in the top lane against Sion and just smashed him. Destroyed him. It was hilarious.
Aatrox also counters Sion too, so like that also plays in.
Yeah, and so it was like a 45 minute game.
With Tyler crashing three, four times.
Yeah, but he was like split pushing and just taking towers. But the score was like Double Lift's team had like 54 kills, so like 20 something.
God, he got destroyed.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, but Double Lift's team ended up winning eventually. So that was pretty fun. They did that. I don't think they did anything after that.
No, it was just kind of that was the last thing, and then the main stage opened up.
Ovaly, who used to be on air talent for LCS, she did like interviews and stuff. Now she works at G4.
Hey.
She was kind of like the MC and was like interviewing them while they were playing the game and stuff. It was pretty funny. And so she interviewed them after the game was over. Doubleth was like, "This is my fourth time winning in a row." He's like, "I'm undefeated."
Oh my god!
Grubhub frenzy. And so,
see, now that sounds really dope. Unfortunately, we can't do a bunch of stuff like that at the Rocket League Major. Like, they don't have a bunch of side stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
so they did that, and me, Gavin, and Caitlin just kind of walked around. Gavin bought a Team Liquid jersey for some reason and got his name put on it.
Because I like,
he's awesome.
I like TL, and I want to get a jersey for every team.
But he got that, and then we just walked around, ate some food, hung out till
Y'all ran into Zach.
We did run into Zach.
Till the pre-show started.
Which was cool. It was cool. We were walking, and then it was just kind of like, oh, shit, Zach? Like, I saw him, I was like, is that Zach? And then Caleb looked at him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw, we were walking back into the fan fest, and he was leaving. I was like, Zach? He was like, yo, what's up, man?
That's awesome.
Like, yeah. I looked at him, I was like, is that Zach? Because that looks like Zach.
Yeah, because I kind of did like a
double take. Yeah, we were both kind of like...
I think looks... when he heard someone yell his name and he looked at me, he didn't recognize me at first.
Yeah, he was like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah, and then we were talking about how,
hey, real shit, that's exactly what he probably like thought. He was probably like, huh? Who are you and how do you know my name?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and then he was like, oh shit, what's up, guys? And then we talked for a little bit, and he was like, yeah, he's like, I'd love to come back on the podcast, especially to talk about this stuff, because it was done. I was like, yeah, dude, for real.
Oh yeah, he's driving to Austin, so he couldn't do it today.
And so we went to our seats. Unfortunately, we were in different sections.
102 gang. 102 gang.
But EG ended up sweeping my poor boys, 100 Thieves, 3-0.
See, that sucks that the finals was a fucking 0-3 sweep.
I know. Yeah, I wanted us
to win at least one game.
But see, how do you think I feel when the Los Angeles LAN finals was 13 games. It was almost a full 14 games.
God damn.
That'd be fucking dope.
Yeah, like, bro, we were... You want to talk about everybody in the crowd literally, like, sweating. We were like, dude, who wins this? Does EU win this or does fucking
honestly,
NA
though,
win this?
But, like, we have I no feel like, idea. I feel like, and also, so, that's, like, so much, and I'd be like, holy fuck, can someone win, please?
Yeah.
Like, please.
Oh, and on Saturday, after the matches, they also did the MSI draw, which is the mid-season invitational. Yeah. So the teams that win their regions for spring, they all go to the MSI and compete for like an international trophy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a pre-worlds type of thing.
Okay.
Just to like get a chance to play other teams from other regions. So they did the draw with all the groups. NA and EU got put in the same group. So that's pretty hype. There's already been like shit talking on Twitter from everybody.
Love to see it.
Yeah. And so after Sunday, EG won. It was, I believe, yes, it was the first time
EG's ever won.
With JoJo Pyeon being an NA mid laner, is the first time NA mid laner has won LCS since 2013 when C9 High did it.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Yeah, so it's been almost 10 years since an NA mid laner.
I guess they don't count Bjergsen as an NA mid laner.
No, because he's technically EU.
Yeah, because he's...
And, so, and what's funny is all, like the whole week and the weekend, JoJo Pyeon, he's been like talking shit on Twitter, like before the TL match. He was like about to sweep TL and send Bjergsen back to coaching.
Fuck.
and then they did it. And the week before that, they played Cloud9 and they sweeped them too, 3-0. So they, to get to the finals, they 3-0'd 3-0'd and 3-0'd. And before the Cloud 9 game, JoJo Byung was like about to sweep Cloud 9 and send Fudge back to top lane because he role swapped to mid this year. and they swept him. And he smashed Fudge. And then, so 100 Thieves mid laner Abadage is from EU. We got him last year.
Mm-hmm.
And before the games, he was like about to send Abadage back to EU.
My God. This is why I love banter.
Oh my God.
Because
he also said. He also said, JK, I'm not Chovy, I actually want to split.
Yeah.
My God!
Yeah, and then,
Ending up
so I am sad about 100 Thieves losing, because they're my favorite team. I am also happy for JoJo and Danny and Vulcan being NA talent, and we haven't had this much like young, really promising NA talent come through the ranks in a long time. So it's pretty cool to see like homegrown talent doing well.
Yeah. See, that's the thing for me with Rocket League right now is like for a while it's always kind of been, okay, who's better? Is EU better or is NA better? And like now that all these other quote unquote minor regions are finally getting like
better,
I'm not even gonna say better, they're just actually getting some fucking airtime.
Yeah,
like people are finally actually starting to like notice, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And the thing about them noticing is this past major we had a South American team. The team name is Furia. You know, the shit talking that happened in Valorant, that team. They have a Rocket League team, and they came in, they placed top 8, mind you. I believe they got 4th.
Yeah.
I'll double check while I'm talking. They got 6th. They didn't get 4th. Yeah, okay, they got sick. Anyways, they came in and they got first place in their group,
mm-hmm.
beating Endpoint, who beat them in the group. They had to turn around and try to play them again, and they won. Then they go and they played against G2, who won the fucking tournament.
Yeah.
And then they played against Queso, who got 2nd fucking place.
Yeah.
So they got 6th place to literally 1st and 2nd.
Yeah.
But they took 1st and 2nd to an almost 7-game series. They took Team Queso to a 7-game series. They took G2 to a 6-game series. So, like, when I tell you, people kind of, like, opened up their eyes and they're like, okay, wait a second. Like, this is technically a minor region. You know what I mean? Like, why are they doing this? Why are they taking 2 of the top teams from NA and EU, like, the distance, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, guys, you know, Rocket League exists other places, that's not Europe, and it's not North America.
Yeah.
You know? Like, surprise.
Yeah.
Like Worlds is going to feature a bunch of different regions, and a bunch of different regions are going to have at least 1 to 2 representatives. But, like, I do not think that a region called SSA, which is sub-Saharan Africa, which is like, it's like, okay, so like, it's like Middle East, MENA is Middle East and North Africa. Sub-Saharan Africa is everything below North Africa.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously I don't think that sub-Saharan Africa is going to come in and win a major.
Yeah.
Like, they're just underrepresented. They're underrepresented, and they probably don't have a bunch of, like, exposure to talent. Yeah. MENA, on the other hand, they quite literally probably have one of the best teams in the entire world.
Yeah.
They've got a team, which Sandrock, they didn't go to the tournament, but now they're under a new organization called the Falcons. They'll be going to Worlds as the Falcons. but they have a very good shot at like at least placing like top eight, 100%. But then like Asia, like you know, we all look at games like, you know, like League is a very big esport. We look at that and like, I mean, fuck, Korea and China and Japan, I'm sure are like the top regions in the world.
Yeah.
But like, that's not the case in Rocket League. They are not on the top. They're not very good at that game. Like, yeah. I wouldn't say they're not very good. They haven't gotten to that level yet.
Yeah, they're more interested in other games over there.
Right, right. But the people who do play in APAC, they are actually fucking nuts. Realize is so good. I love that player.
Yeah.
So, just real quick, Fudge may be going back to top lane.
Oh my god.
They've been talking about it, but yeah. I don't know why they would when Summit just won MVP.
They also said
they had a really good split. They just fucked up in playoffs.
Also, Sanchovies got banned on Twitch.
Yeah, he got banned. he got unbanned though, so.
What did he do?
Already?
He was having internet problems, and he got like really pissed off. It was and said he was gonna bomb his ISP.
Oh shit!
And so
what the fuck?
He got like indefinitely banned, and then over the past couple of days,
he was banned 5 hours ago.
Apologized and
wait, what?
Like. All his community came out and was like unban him and stuff, and they unbanned him.
But he was literally banned 5 hours ago.
Says who?
Literally just got banned 5 hours ago.
Oh well, he must have did something else.
He literally, because he also tweeted and said, "What did I do?"
Oh, I don't know.
So yeah, he got banned again.
But like 7 days ago he got banned for saying he was gonna bomb his ISP.
Yeah, he got unbanned, and then I guess he got banned again because streamer bans. I follow them.
On Twitter.
He just got banned
So back to League of Legends real quick. next week on Thursday, May 5th, MSI starts.
Oh cool. Okay, so y'all have a big event pretty much back to back, right?
Yeah, basically. Yes, and so I think NA might be able to win it this year.
Ooh, I like spicy.
I wouldn't be surprised if we do.
So, and here's why. This MSI is going to be a little different than the normal MSI. So, China's representative, RNG, who won the LPL, they can't come to MSI because of COVID and like travel restrictions, because I guess China's having like a big wave of it right now. Mm-hmm. So they're letting them play from China, and MSI is in Busan, Korea this year, so they're kind of close. And so everybody, instead of playing on the normal like zero ping tournament round ping, everybody in the whole tournament's going to be playing on 35 ping to make it fair for like China.
That's absolutely fair.
And but the thing is,
and they have a lot of experience with online
like in Korea, like in solo queue, just like playing normally, they get like 5 to 8 ping.
Okay, and so
EU it's really low too, but here in America, when I play League from the central servers here in Texas, I get 35 ping like normally. So yeah, NA like is 40. Used to 35 ping. So I think we have like a real big advantage.
I feel that, but like also, I mean, you gotta think, just because
like people in Korea, they have probably never played on that much ping before in their entire life.
I believe that.
So it might be a little weird for them at first.
I think the reason NA has a good chance of winning MSI is simply because of how EG is playing. They're being so aggressive, And they're like in the fine in the, their games. I think there's the only so many team fights
they would have a problem against is T1.
Yeah, but I think I believe in them. I think they
in
got
our
it.
Group we're playing. In our group, the top two teams from each group go out, and there's two groups of four and one group of three. We got in the group of three against EU, and we'll be playing G2, and then we got in a group with the third team was from Oceania, and they have never been very good.
Very small so, region too.
Yeah, it's basically just Australia, yeah. And so we should be able to at least get second to make it out of groups. And then
I also think the addition to Champions Q has probably been helping League, like the NA scene, grow stronger now.
Since yeah.
Now there's less trolls for the top players to have to worry about.
Yeah.
At least that's what I hope is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had, like, Korea and everybody else has kind of already had something similar to it, and NA just kind of
got it. But yeah, so I think we have a good chance to at least make it to semifinals or finals.
I'm hoping.
I don't think NA has ever won.
No, we haven't.
We made it to finals.
CLG
years ago. I think Cloud9 or TL made it to finals. And lost to G2, I think.
I think I don't know. When I looked it up, I think CLG was the only NA team to make it. Yes, CLG and Team Liquid are the only two teams from NA that have ever made it to the second place. Because in 2016, CLG lost to T1, and in 2019, TL lost to G2.
Yeah, TL lost G2 in 2019. Yeah, that's what I thought. So
with
yeah.
China actually being
an RNG, who is the Chinese representative, who are going to be playing from China, are the returning champions. So they won it last year. So
yeah, yep. China has won three with Edward Gaming. RNG won.
Yeah, and RNG.
Yeah, has won twice.
RNG's won it twice.
Yep, and then SKT has won it twice.
SKT's won it once.
Twice.
They won in 2015.
2016.
Oh, and in 2017 against G2, yeah.
Yeah, 2015.
Ooh, that's crazy.
In 2015, Edward Gaming won. 2016, SKT. 2017, SKT. 2018, RNG. And 2019, G2. And then 2020 was canceled. And 2021 was RNG.
So that'll be that starts, dude. Yeah, so that starts on May 5th, Thursday next week, and it goes till May 29th. So it's basically the whole month of May.
Yeah, boy.
And it is in Busan, South Korea.
Sounds dope, dude. Honestly, I like the idea of the MSI thing you're talking about. That sounds so fucking cool.
Which we also know
they've been doing it every year since 2015.
Which we also know about Busan is if you're on a train, there will be zombies.
That's a great movie, dude.
It really is. It's a great movie. It's such a good movie. I love it.
Serious thing here. So okay. you're talking about all this like events and stuff coming up, dude. Like this whole time. Y'all been talking and everything. I've been watching this college Rocket League on mute, just kind of like watching the tournament in passing.
College, the College League of Legends like championship was this weekend as well, but I didn't see who.
Y'all heard of the tournament DreamHack, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or the event? Excuse me, the event.
Oh, it's still going on, so no one's won yet.
No. I got you. Okay, I was gonna say. If y'all heard of DreamHack, that's where the collegiate world tournament for Rocket League is going to be at on June 3rd through the 5th.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm not going to go, but I'm excited to watch it. But you were talking about having that event, the MSI, so close to the LCS. RLCS regionals start this weekend. It's the same weekend as Low Tide City, the Smash Bros. Event.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, which I am going to.
One other thing that happened this weekend that's pretty big for North America. The Valorant VCT Masters final happened.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I was gonna ask about that because I know you were talking about it while watching while you were at the event.
Yeah, so Saturday was the lower bracket final to see who went to the final to play Loud, which is a Brazilian team who I don't think lost a map the entire tournament to get to finals.
Jeez.
And then
Cads, bro.
So they were in finals waiting to see who won lower bracket final. Lower bracket finals was Zeta, which is a Japanese team who had like a Cinderella, like historic run at VCT. Like no Japanese team has ever like done this well.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Optic from NA.
Yeah.
And Optic won 3-0, so they swept them.
But the story really is how the Japanese team got there, right?
Yeah, because
that's what I love to hear.
Valorant has basically been dominated pretty much by NA and EU. Like Japan has been considered like all the Asian regions, really, and Valorant have been considered like minor regions.
Yeah,
and this tournament, like all the Asian teams, like really stepped up and like. I'd say they aren't really considered minor regions anymore.
That's dope, bro. That's hella dope.
So Optic played Loud in the final on Sunday, and Optic beat Loud 3-0. So NA won VCT Masters.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was pretty hype. Last time NA won was, I believe, the very first Masters, and that was Sentinels.
Yeah, and then didn't Zoms just leave Sentinels or whatever?
Yeah, he didn't leave Sentinels. He's still on Sentinels. He's just stepping down from like the pro team, and they replaced him with a dude from version one, maybe, I think.
Yeah, that
I can't pronounce his name. His name's like Kanabalapiki or something. I don't fucking know his name.
You know, the juked.gg app is great for that. I get a lot of news updates.
Yeah, so the first VC2 Masters in Reykjavik was last year in May, and Sentinels beat Fnatic. Then the next one was Gambit Esports versus Team Envy, which Team Envy's NA, and Gambit won that one. I don't know where Gambit is. Gambit's a Russian team, so EU.
EU?
Basically. I think they're EMEA.
I was going to say Russia is definitely in the continent Asia.
Yeah.
But
I think they're EMEA. And then the next one, Gambit made it to the finals again, and they played Ascend. And Ascend won that one. And Ascend is European, EU. Then nice. Optic versus Loud, and Optic won that one.
Nice.
And so the next one is VCT Champions, which is like the big tournament with the, it's like over $1 million prize pool.
And that is
in September.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'm happy that there are so many there's so many events going on in recent times. I don't care who listens to this or what they think. Like, esports is such a booming industry,
mm-hmm.
and like getting into it as soon as you possibly can, whether it be as a fan, a player, a contender of any kind, hell, even a content creator. It is such a booming industry right now.
Something also really cool happened in esports this past week. I think I told Gavin. I'm not sure if I told you, but Space Station, their Halo team, signed
The second
they signed the Green Bay Packers backup quarterback, Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
Kirk, as yeah. a like backup player on their pro team.
Yeah, but hey, Boston Scott, the isn't he a Philadelphia Eagles player? Yeah, he's the running back for the Eagles.
Is he?
Yeah, he is the on roster substitute for the Rocket League team Dignitas.
Oh, really?
Yes.
At 37 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a different Austin Scott.
Austin.
Austin, like A-U-S-T-I-N?
Boston, as in Pakyakamiyai.
Oh, Boston Scott. Okay, sorry.
Like
fucking dummy.
Yeah. Okay. I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah, Boston Scott.
He's 27.
Yes, but yeah, he is the on roster substitute for Dignitas.
That's funny.
Yeah, so there's the second football player signed to esports that I've seen.
Yeah, February 3rd on Wednesday, esports organizing Dignitas.
Mm-hmm. He's good too. Like, he's actually good as fuck at Rocket League. It's kind of crazy. Yeah,
our Dignitas, our Rocket League team just became more stacked. Welcome Dignitas to Dignitas Rocket League Boston Scott. First two sports, NFL and Rocket League Pro.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yep.
That's so cool though.
But so Rocket League has their spring regionals going on for the spring major that will happen at the Copper Box Arena. And Copper Box, I believe, hang on, which Rocket was it? Season 5 was the last time they went to the Copper Box, and that was in 2017, I believe? 2017, 2016? Let me double check here.
Oh. You know Crew Esports?
2018. Excuse me.
Do you know who Crew Esports is, Russell?
I do.
Do they have a Rocket League team?
Crew does not.
Oh, okay. But anyway, the now retired because of heart problems, Sergio Aguero, who is a like world class soccer player in Europe, he founded Crew Esports.
Yeah, I'm looking at, I literally just pulled it up.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, they actually, oh, they apparently do have a Rocket League team.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah. They don't do very good, but they have some good results.
Gordon Hayward, who is a NBA basketball player, owns Tribe Gaming, which is a mobile video game esports team, which has teams in Brawl Stars, Call of Duty Mobile, Clash Royale, and Clash of Clans.
Wild.
I can't believe people still play Clash of Clans and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, but Serious topic here, because you popped in while I was ranting about it.
Oh yeah.
So like I said, I'm gonna go to the Low Tide City event, the Rocket League, the Smash Bros event in Round Rock this weekend. Something has been popping up, and it pops up every so often with Smash, and I just. It grates me to no end, because when it does come up, people misconstrue, and it happened to me. They misconstrue what the conversation or what the argument really is in favor of. And when I first saw it, I was under the impression that they were talking about lower end events rather than higher end events, but a lot of the top level talent is arguing for higher entry fee. Hmm. they want the entry fee for a tournament to go from $10 to $20. And the reason being is they want the pot to increase because they want more people. They want higher level talent to like actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say more competitive.
They want higher level talent, like more. They want it to be more enticing. They want more pot bonuses. Blah 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 blah. So, number one, let's start with something very historically known about Smash Bros. It's a grassroots community.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have the support of Riot Gaming to make our events.
Yeah.
No. We did not have the support of Capcom to make our events. We did not have the support of Bandai Namco to make our events. We were a bunch of fucking kids who were like, hey, Melee is super cool and super fun, and I'm better than my friends, therefore I'm better than everybody else.
Yeah.
And then of course you have the guy who comes in and says, well, no, I'm better than my friends, so I'm better than you. Boom, you've got tournament spark up. So that being said, there never has been a lot of support and avidly from Nintendo not supporting this game at all.
Yeah.
So when people try to say, let's increase it by $10, they're talking about major events. They are not talking about lower end locals that are not going to bring in, you know, fucking the top 8 players in the world.
Right.
Like, we're talking about high end events where tons of people are going to go, where the pot is increased to a sizable amount that will allow that will allow the people who do win, the higher end talent, to walk away with some good chunk of change to try to like make this a career. Because honestly, competing in any esport, competing in any video game that you find, that you deem like good, it's a career. You want to turn it into a career. You want to do it for a living. But truly, a lot of esports stuff is done through content. It's done through streaming. It's done through content creation of some kind. You know, it's not really done through actually playing the game professionally. I can't say that for games like, you know, Counter-Strike, because they have $1 million fucking tournaments. I can't say that for games like Dota, because Dota has $1 million tournaments.
Yeah.
Can't say that for, like, I don't know, League of Legends. You guys have huge pot bonus tournaments, but that's because Riot Gaming is so heavily involved that like these top level players are coming in, they're walking away with not hundreds of thousands of dollars, but like tens of thousands of dollars a tournament. Like, it's worth it. But when we go to a Smash event, like I was trying to talk to Gavin about earlier, you go in and Hungrybox, quite literally one of the greatest Smash players of all time. Everybody knows Hungrybox. You've literally seen his face before somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a fit this weekend because he went to Pound, which was a less than 1,000 man tournament, and he walked away with $800. When I did the math, the prize pool was only $2,840.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry that you jumped from one major to another. You went from Genesis 8 to Pound, and you went from like fifth place to second place, and I'm sorry, you made like, fuck, you made more than like a third of America in 2 weekends playing in tournament with money you didn't even spend. You're sponsored by Team Liquid. You didn't even spend any money. You spent no money out of your pocket to enter that tournament. Your sponsor paid for it. The only money you probably spent was on your fucking hotel. Like, you probably didn't even spend any money on that. Because I don't even know. I'm sure Team Liquid is very well endowed,
yeah,
monetarily speaking. I doubt he had to pay for his lodging at all.
Right.
He only spent money on what he consumed that weekend.
I mean, even so, if that, like,
he said what?
I said even if that, because if he got, if they gave him a nice hotel with room service and stuff, he might not have even spent any money on food.
But he, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I get
he, these that's why these people want sponsors so badly, because at the end of the day, they at least get something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they want to raise from $10 to $20. And so that's like, let me ask you guys, and so that way it's on record, you know, we have it on recording. If you plan to go to a major as a competitor, so big majors happen in MDVA, so Maryland, Virginia, California, Florida, Texas, and somewhere up north, Ohio, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So like every other major that you have to go to is going to happen in a completely different state that we like. Genuinely, you're going to have to fly to.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're already planning to go to book the flight, to pay for the hotel, and the entry fee, what the fuck is $10 extra? Right?
Yeah.
So, I can get jiggy with the $10 extra on the major. I can get down with that as a competitor trying to travel.
Yeah. $10, that's nothing.
That's what I was telling.
Like, when I took Gabe to that Valorant LAN, that's not even like a major like tournament or anything, their entry fee was $500.
Easy.
For just like an amateur basically like Valorant tournament.
That's crazy. As a team, right? The team was $500?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So but you see what I'm saying though?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is $10 extra? Like, what is an extra $50? Dude, what is Valorant, a 5-member team?
Yeah.
What's an extra $50?
Yeah, nothing.
Literally, at that point, it's literally nothing. So, like, I can see increasing the major from 10 to 20 on specifically the tournament entry.
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to actually do something, you need to actually do something for the back of the house. If you want to talk about increasing pay for people, increase the pay for the people who are going out of their way to set the shit up, to do your graphics, to run the production, to do the pools, to be a TO. Like, stop worrying about yourselves and worry about the people who are putting on this event for you. Like, if y'all are going to throw a fit about something, throw a fit about the people who care enough to volunteer to bring you that good event.
Yeah.
And that's the argument that I don't see enough of. I don't see enough of literally letting or like the people who actually do all this hard work, giving them the like rights they deserve, giving them the credit they deserve. And so I think, while yes, if you want higher payouts for top level talent, yes, you do need to increase the entry fee for competitors, but that's just at majors. Nobody needs to do it at a local level. At a local level, it will kill your scene. If you increase any of your local tournaments from like $10 to, I mean, hell, even 15, from $10 to $15, it absolutely murders local attendance.
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of people are like, $10, I can spare $10. But it's like, well, 15 now, it's like, well, you know, that 15 could go to gas. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah, $10 might not seem much when you're making, you know, $600, $700, $800 every event. But like you said, local events, it's like, oh, the payout might only be like $150. Like, you know, you might not be making that much to even go. So, you know.
Yeah. Like that's what I'm getting at is like local attendance has dropped because all of our locals increased in price. And it's honestly insane. Like I'm not obviously involved in the scene like I used to be or anything, but if Zach was here, he would absolutely be able to back me up. Like, local attendance has sunk because we're literally like all of our tournaments are $10 or $15, $10 to $15, and like people cannot manage going to like three $15 tournaments. Like, that's almost $50 a week. Like, these guys, like, some of these people aren't employees like the three of us. They don't have jobs that pay them $15+ an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna ask you guys what you make. I don't care. But if I'm wrong, then like tell me I'm wrong. But like, you guys obviously make more than minimum wage, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you make above $12 an hour?
Yes.
Yes.
Caleb. Okay. Yeah. So you make above $12 an hour. That's plain and simple right there. You make above $12 an hour. The three of us, we could afford $45 a week.
Yeah.
If we were competitors like that. We could absolutely afford that $45 a week. However, most people aren't like that, like in the Smash community. They don't work this kind of job, these kind of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about it, like them needing to spend that kind of money and to keep attendance going, it is so hard because the money just isn't there. And that is the big argument, is that to make Smash a career, you kind of need backing. You kind of need support of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that we unfortunately don't have, that other games do. And if Nintendo would actually, for once, listen to its community, listen to the opportunity that they do have in front of them because of how much the scene has just grown. If they would do it specifically with Ultimate, it would be fine. They couldn't do it with Melee. Melee would absolutely shut them out. Melee, it has been grassroots for two fucking decades. Like, Nintendo trying to put their stamp on it now would just be a slap in the face. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, if they would do it with at least Ultimate can survive. But, like, because Melee has been so homegrown, so grassroots for so long, and the community itself has been kept so tight because of just the legacy from the early days, like, Ultimate needs to build that if they want to sustain. If Ultimate does not build that, like, this game will die in the next, like, 7 years.
That's fair.
And that's why I'm glad League isn't going anywhere. That's why I'm glad Valorant isn't going anywhere. That's why I'm glad Rocket League is taking off. Because, like, it just goes to show what a company who actually supports their fucking game can do.
Right.
And because we lack that so heavily, like, that's why we do, like, bro, Smash players do this literally every fucking, shit, I don't know, like, six to eight months. We do this every 6 to 8 months. Oh, majors need to increase their price so the pot's bigger. Okay. But you're still going to go.
Right.
You're still going to go to the tournament. You're still going to travel. You're still going to do this. You're still going to do that. Shut the fuck up. Like you guys are not going to stop supporting League. I know you two bitch about it. I understand why, because I know the game itself isn't, the game itself and the community itself is just inherently toxic.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, y'all are never going to not support it because of the value it has to you guys.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you hate it, but you can't really live without it.
There you go. Caleb, how much money did you spend? An ungodly amount of money?
Yes, too much.
To fund his own entire tournament?
Yeah.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not stabbing at you.
Yeah.
I'm just like realistically, Caleb knows that he literally has just thrown that money away.
Yeah.
And it's on aesthetic. Gavin, you've thrown the money away too on purely aesthetic.
Yep.
You think that I haven't spent an ungodly amount of money on Rocket League? You're out of your fucking mind. Like, I gambled with Rocket League. We used to have crates and keys, yeah. and that's how you would get items. Yeah, bro.
I did the same thing when Overwatch was big, buying the loot crates. I mean, hell, even League of Legends has it. They have grab bags and chests and stuff, and I've spent money on that too, just to gamble to see what I get, because it's like, oh, there's that 1% chance that I might get something that's super expensive that I don't want to spend actual, like, a lot of money on to get.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, is like, we'll do it. Yeah. But it's just because we love the game and we want to look cool.
That, and, you know, it supports the game, supports the devs, and, you know.
It actually supports something.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. It supports something. It doesn't matter what the fuck it is. It supports something.
Right. Yeah. Like, if we, the players on League, didn't, you know, spend the money we did on, you know, the TFT pass and skins for our champions and stuff like that, or RP to give skins and stuff to our friends, then League wouldn't be able to do these big-ass tournaments. I mean, I remember when...
Yeah, it's a free-to-play game.
I remember when League first started out, and the whole joke was that, like, the entire tournament took place in Freak's basement, because, like, it was such, like, low quality and low everything, and we all joked about it, like, oh yeah, this is, like, Freak's, welcome back to Freak's basement. They used to say it on air and stuff, like, when they were streaming, they'd be like, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Freak's Basement, and today we have TSM versus, you know, C9, and now look at it. It's biggest, one of the biggest esports in the world.
Right, that's my point. Like, that's just all it is. That's the end of my point, is like, bruh, like, it just, look what support does. Look what giving back to your community does. That's all that fucking matters. And literally, they can't do it.
Right.
So that's why Nintendo will do this literally every other goddamn, like, season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just, like from you guys who don't have to experience this, because you guys experience what Riot does for y'all. Like, this is what I'm saying. It's like, if you guys get into any other game, just know how hard it actually is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking difficult. So, don't ever get involved in a game that doesn't have strong dev support. Yeah. For me to you.
Well, alright, guys.
That's... I was saying, but that's going to be it for us here at Select Time, everybody. Yeah. Just know, I love you more than y'all would know. And if you're listening to this, Caleb thinks you're sexy.
Thank you. Also, if you guys haven't noticed, we're uploading on Fridays now. It gives us a little bit more time throughout the week to be able to record, and it gives me more time to edit and everything. So we are going to be uploading on Fridays now. We still will always have our questions. Nothing else is going to change. It's just, instead of it being every Wednesday, it's going to be every Friday now. So just look for the new episodes on Fridays.
Yeah. Friday podcast. Woo!
All right, guys, that's gonna be it from us. See ya
later.